This week on Chicago Beer Pass, it's a little bit of a different episode. It's less about the events we went to this past week and not too much talk about what's happening this coming week, but we drink a ton of beer and we're hanging out at the Miller Coors office. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick White.
And we're on location this week at Miller Coors Bar offices with a special guest, Lisa. Welcome.
Hello. It's technically called Fred and Adolph, named after our predecessors, right? So, you know, the men that made this all possible, Adolph Coors and Frederick Miller. So.
See, I didn't want to mess up the name, so that's why I just skipped it.
It's all good.
I let you do it.
Yeah.
And we're live and direct from beautiful downtown Chicago. We're across the street from Sears Tower or whatever they're calling it nowadays.
Willis.
Yeah.
Still the Willis, I think.
Yeah.
Sears Tower.
And a lot of people don't know that you guys are down here, which is pretty cool. You know, this is your global, this is ground zero. This is your global headquarters.
Well, it's our headquarters in the U.S. Miller Coors is a joint venture that exists just in the U.S. So our parent companies, SAB Miller and Molson, are obviously located elsewhere, but this is where our U.S. operations run out of. So yeah, we have about 500 employees in this office, but I think we're like 8,000 plus across the country at all our breweries. So there's a lot more people in a lot of other cities making beer, and this is just where we do things like create new beers and get our marketing and sales plans together, and then coordinate our efforts with the breweries.
Cool. Yeah, and that's something we're usually doing on Chicago Beer Pass is drinking beer. And I think we have plenty of it here today.
We're not messing around. I got all the coolers here. We could like roll right out to the beach and probably have a pretty good party.
Dude, a broadcast from the beach before it's all over would be amazing.
And it's a little chilly today for some beach.
Yeah.
So do we want to crack open some beers before we start talking about what we made it to and talk about these beers for a minute too?
Yeah, for sure. I pulled out some of kind of our newer line extensions that we've got in our craft segment. So Blue Moon Brewing Company and Jacob Line and Cooler Brewing Company. And then I've also got our new gluten-free offering from Coors. So we'll start with the Blue Moon. You guys got all excited when I mentioned that I had horchata on hand.
She read our facial expression.
We'll just start with that because I like to, I'm a people pleaser, right? So you guys. You had your.
That's fine. That's okay. So, Lisa, while you're pouring these beers, let's talk a little bit about the location. How long have you guys been here?
So, we've been in these offices, I want to say just over 6 years. So, we moved in here in 2009, which is right when I started with the company, so I'll remember that. And it was about a year after the joint venture, they wanted to have a location where they could get really great marketing talent, someplace that wasn't favoring either of the existing headquarters in Denver and Milwaukee, and just, you know, a place where there's a wider pool of awesome people to pull from as we're making this effort. Like I said, we still have a ton of employees across the country, but and the reason they picked this location was because they could have this awesome floor for the bar. I mean, that was a big thing, was having this pub for our employees.
I think that's the jewel of the entire building, is that you've got this indoor-outdoor space on, like, one of the top floors, and it's called Fred Nadal's Pub. Mm-hmm. And you do a lot of events here, right?
A fair amount. I mean, it really is for employee use, and certainly we can have guests in, but you can't just roll in off the street and come in. Brewers Unleashed, which I think we'll talk about a little later, that's something where you might be able to get access. And we do host other things for the community, but first and foremost, it is for employee use, and it's open every day, and we have a bar staff and a lot of beers on draft, and usually anything in our portfolio, you can usually find it up here. So.
Oh, very cool.
And free snacks. We have peanuts and pretzels and handy snacks.
It's going to be weird to be a bar staff here, just that, like, oh, I'm at the private bar. Like I don't know. It feels, yeah. seems
well,
weird to be the
bar. Well, you know,
bartender.
It's open for a few from 4:30 to like 6:30. Yeah. Yeah, so it's
probably an easy gig for them.
It works. They have other responsibilities, yeah. but they're great. We have, they're awesome. They do a lot for us. So
that's cool. So we got the cinnamon horchata Blue Moon right now.
Yeah, so Blue Moon, first of all, turns 20 years old this summer. So we just had our big celebration at the end of July commemorating that. All the caps right now are celebrating that. And the regular Blue Moon Belgian White, they did a special artist series. So they had 20 artists. So if you're out in market and see those labels, they're really cool. They took in different submissions from artists all over the country depicting Blue Moon. And
Nice.
So cinnamon horchata we started with in test, I think, last year. But, you know, just slowly rolling it out. It is in Chicago in six packs. It's not everywhere yet. Just it's one of those things. It's kind of a newer flavor profile. You're not seeing a ton of, like, creamy cinnamon beers. If you're not familiar, horchata is a, like, almond, rice, cinnamon.
Milk drink.
Yeah, kind of, and it's, you know, prevalent in Latin America. And our brewmaster, Keith Villa, is of Mexican-American heritage, and horchata was a flavor he knew growing up from visiting his grandparents and something.
Okay.
He gets these ideas and he wants to, like, play around with them. So he's, you know, cooked 20 pounds of bacon on his stove so he could go throw bacon in a brew kettle and... just a really creative guy in terms of culinary ideas. He made a beer once just because he didn't think he had anything good that went with Thai food. Like, he thinks about, like, well, okay, I like horchata. Can I make that into a beer? So they use malted rice and then obviously the cinnamon. And I think they really hit the nail on the head. The flavor is really nice.
Yeah, have you had I like that it's in six packs. I didn't know that here. Mm-hmm. I thought it was only in those variety packs. Mm-hmm. Has it been, like, a hard sell for people outside of, like, Chicago or like a city where maybe they haven't had horchata before?
Not really. I mean, it's been incredibly popular. A couple of retailers around town were telling me they were having it before we had it in six packs in Chicago. They were having an issue where people were coming in to their liquor store and breaking open the variety packs to build six pack because they would have like a mixed six, you know, setup. And so they would break open the variety packs because there were only two in each pack. And so they would do that to build out. So it's definitely going to be popular. We just want to make sure we're thoughtful about the types of accounts it goes into and where it's available. But, you know, it's a nice, like I said, I think the Blue Moon drinker in general, you know, they're trying something new and they're kind of getting out there, but we don't want to blow their face off, right? So this is something that fits in with that kind of having the rice. It fits in with the wheat beer drinker, and there's the cinnamon is maybe replacing the fruit in that style of beer, and it's a nice... something else that appeals to the drinker that prefers those kind of beers.
Cool.
Yeah, we've talked about this beer on the show in the past, and we clearly get excited about it. and then just off the top of your head, I know the Blue Moon started originally as, you know, the original Blue Moon, which was like the Belgian wheat ale. And then how many varieties have you had since that original one?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, like, kind of endless, it seems like.
Yeah,
right?
Well, there's stuff that's come and gone. There's stuff that's come and gone and come back again. So summer honey wheat's a great example. We retired that a few years ago and did some other stuff for summer, and people were like, wait, where did summer honey wheat go? So we brought it back. You know, and I know they're already working on some new things for next year. We kind of use the seasonal opportunity to switch things out and play around a little bit. The pumpkin beer, so it's pumpkin beer time, right? Everyone's like so angry. There's so much pumpkin rage. But Blue Moon Pumpkin was the first nationally distributed pumpkin beer however many years ago. So I guess it's kind of like blame Canada, blame Blue Moon for pumpkin prevalence.
Pumpkin is a split crowd. People either love or hate pumpkin. Yeah. I'm okay with it. Not too early, though.
People want it when they want it. That's just...
Well, then you get a cold day like this, and you're like, pumpkin beer. And then it's going to be next week in 90 degrees. And people are going to have all this rage, and I'm going to be like, just move along. I mean, I went and found the pumpkin Pop-Tarts last year because I was, like, super hot to try those. They were delicious, I'm not going to lie. In that vein, we do have and we're going to try a grapefruit shandy. We have a Harvest Patch shandy that I was a little bit skeptical about because you're like, it's beer.
Oh, like a pumpkin shandy?
Yeah, so you think, like, well, beer and juice, but you're like, well, you don't drink pumpkin juice. Like, that sounds kind of gnarly. And then I had it, and I was like, okay. And I'm not a coffee drinker, so, like, pumpkin spice latte, like, that's not a flavor profile, minus the Pop-Tarts that I'm jumping all over. But that Harvest Patch Sandy, you're like, oh, it's fall in my mouth. So anyway, I don't have any of that today with us, but I just, it's worth mentioning as we're talking about the pumpkin.
Nice.
For sure. Now, you guys as a company don't seem to get caught up in that big versus little dialogue, right? Because that's prevalent among, like, the only other companies we can compare this company to.
I know, right? And it's, you know, it's funny because it's something I pay a lot of attention to just on, like, social media. Like, that's sort of part of my existence here is monitoring those conversations and being a part of them. But we've really kind of come to this place where we're like, the definitions don't matter to us. What matters to us is that our drinker has something in their hand that they like that's well-made and of high quality. And if you want to go visit the Sandlot in Denver, which has a 10-barrel system, and tell me that those guys aren't allowed to be called craft beer, I'm going to have some choice words for you. So I just kind of stay at, like, we as a company, it's not something we spend a lot of energy talking about because we're putting our energy into coming up with new interesting beers and trying to keep our drinkers happy and excited to be drinking our beer. So I don't, it's funny, you know, I'm friends with a lot of you guys on Facebook, and I see one of my favorites, I'm just going to, you know, name drop Jeremy Danner, but he likes to poke the bear, and he had some words yesterday, and I go in and read the threads. I'm very interested to hear what people say.
You like to know what's going on.
Yeah. And it's more just because I don't want to be completely disengaged from it, but I'm not about to, like, invite you into the street to fight about it either. It's exhausting, most of the, you know.
Right,
it's just,
and it's a fight. You don't always win. There's no winner.
There's no, and it doesn't, I mean, we know that we're big. Like, it's not a secret, right? But we also know that the effort that we put into the consistency and the quality of our beers is unmatched. So it's, like, we'd like to think we're kind of setting a high standard, and if it is a problem for you that we're a large company doing that, then maybe you need to find something else to spend your energy on. Because, seriously, there's, like, so many more problems you could be worried about.
What is the 10th and Blake, the Miller Coors philosophy? You guys seem more interested in developing current brands than going to buy new ones. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely been interested in acquisition, but we're not going to do it for the sake of doing it. Right. We have, especially with Blue Moon and Lion, two really strong and large brewing companies that have, I mean, Leinkugel's been around since 1800s, like, going out and acquiring a bunch of stuff just to say we're doing it is not what we're interested in. Certainly if there's a good partnership or something that makes sense, I mean, those distribution footprints are really hard, and, you know, we bought Crispin and learned some stuff from doing that, so that was a space. We didn't have a cider,
right, yeah.
So we went and got a cider, but we have, you know, we sell a ton of this beer, so we're not trying to fill any holes. We'd like to keep building these out, and if an opportunity comes along, then we'll pursue it. But it's not a big land grab for us.
In other words, Nick is trying to get out of you, like, who are you going to buy?
Right. So,
I love how Brad's, like, completely uncensored on this show.
I don't know what you think I do here, but that conversation is way above my pay grade. So, going to hang out and drink some beers with you guys. They're like, you go, because you don't have anything to tell them.
You have no secrets to reveal.
Turn the mics off. We're done here. I want a secrets. Turn it off. We're done.
Here, let me go downstairs and see if I can get somebody more important to talk to you.
Well, should we try the white IPA, too?
Yeah, for sure.
Go with this?
So, here's my big secret. Yeah. I don't like IPAs. No. I actually, like, for a long time thought I didn't like beer, because good friends who were trying to help me enjoy beer would hand me these IPAs, and they'd be like, oh, this is craft beer. It's so good. And I was like, this does not taste good to me.
It's a very aggressive profile, yeah.
Yeah, and so until I figured out that I actually kind of have this aversion to bitterness and that there were other styles outside of IPAs, I was like, well, if that's what beer is, like, you know, pass me the Boone's Farm. But once but once I discovered wheat beers you know, wheat beers with fruit in them and sours, like, I kind of jumped right into sours. You know, some people progress to sours. I went there and worked my way back.
I think that's the first Boone's Farm reference of 2018.
Do I win the prize? Is there, like, secret word of the day?
That makes sense. I mean, you don't like IPAs because you're not a big coffee drinker either, so you're not
getting the bitterness
that,
thing.
Bitter.
And it's, you know, it's something I've worked into, but the white IPA from Blue Moon, I'll tell you what, like, and I like IPAs with food now. Like, if I go to Hop Leaf and they have that really, the CB&J sandwich, right? If I get that, I'm totally ordering a pale ale or an IPA, because I'm going to have, like, the back and forth but just drinking one straight doesn't really do it for me. But this is a nice like starter IPA for people. It's for pretty sure. mild. The IBUs are only up in the mid 40s. This Huel Melon Hop isn't super piney or anything. It's got kind of these nice grapefruit notes. So
those German hops, man. They're doing some fun stuff with the German hops.
Yeah.
At Craft Brewers Conference, I went to a whole German hops symposium. Now, the last time I saw you was at Sox Park, and you guys have the revamp.
Oh, yeah. We did our little...
The space on the mm-hmm. 100 level.
Yeah.
It used to be called the party deck. It's called something different now. Yeah. It reminds me of Lynx when we were at Lynx. Remember, we were like in the middle of the
that it just got loud.
Yeah. It just got really loud. But I remember that night at Sox Park, the first beer to kick was the white IPA.
Yeah. And it, like I said, super drinkable. So, again, with, you know, we know who the Blue Moon drinker is, and we don't want to come in here and be like, drink our 80 IBU IPA, because that's not going to get them excited. But this is something they can kind of ease into and cut their palate on a little, and then maybe they'll go drink something larger. But, you know, it's super smooth, very well balanced. And like I said, that Huel Melon hop, good luck getting any of those. I think we bought them all, but it's a really nice hop. That's, we used to joke, people be like, why don't you guys have an IPA? And I was like, you don't want us to have an IPA, because we will literally buy
There's
all the
no
hops. I mean, when we're talking about brands that are 15 million barrels, right? If we suddenly, you know, busted out with that, it would be a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, we're easing in with this brand. And we also have our IPL with Line and Kugel. So clean drinking, still hoppy, but something that's not an ale and not as fruity. So.
And you said it's only like 40 IBUs?
Yeah, it's like 42 to 45
is the
range.
I think I was drinking Mama's Little Pills yesterday, and that's like 38 or something.
Yeah.
It is a Pills, right?
Yeah. It is a Pills.
Now, was that always, how does it work between you and, how does it work with Keith Villa and developing these new Blue Moon brands? Was that always part of the plan? Like, hey, you know, we're gonna work with you guys, bring you in-house, and then we're just going to develop, like, all these different
varieties? So Keith,
like,
Keith started in-house. So Keith was a Coors Brewery employee.
Okay.
He was getting ready to go to medical school and saw a job for somebody who had a biology background to do like yeast science stuff. And he's like, well, I'll go try this for a while. And he formed a relationship with Pete Coors. And he said, I'm going to send, there's this thing going on over in Belgium with beer. This is, you know, pre everything we know now. And he said, I'm going to send you over there to learn some more so we can make sure we're at the forefront of whatever's going on. So Keith ended up over there getting his PhD in brewing. So he's like one of a handful of people who is a doctor of brewing. And when he came back from that, they set him up at the Sandlot with a little, basically a brewing lab. And he came up, you know, they tried lots of different stuff. And they came up with Belgian White. And they called it Belly Slide Belgian Wit because it was sold at the ballpark. Belly Slide Belgian Wit. So it was sold at the ballpark. So they have all these, you know, ballpark themed names. And that one was particularly popular. So they started trying to sell it to accounts. I mean, Keith says they tried to kill it two or three times because this is, again, 20 years ago, when a beer like that, people are like, no, why is this beer cloudy? Why are you putting an orange in this beer?
Stop being a weirdo.
Well, you know, it's just, you see how far we've come in that time. So it's never been a like, hey, come in house and we'll do this. They've always been part of Coors and now Miller Coors. But Keith works very independently on recipe development. And then the guys at the Sandlot, there's John Legnar, and he's got a small crew down there. Then they work on scaling it up. So if we have something that's doing well, then we'll take it out of there and move it into one of our larger breweries. But there's a lot of back and forth making sure that we don't compromise the recipe when we do that. So it's very, you know, when you go from a 10-barrel system to a 2,000-barrel system, you have to make sure that you can scale those recipes. So they used to do
It's not like baking a bigger cake. Right?
Yeah,
like
no, I mean, it's you know, when we talk about getting the Huel Melon hop for this, we have to look and say, are we going to be able to get enough if we take this to X thousands of barrels in this amount of time. So there's a lot of thought and planning that goes into making sure that's right, which also can be a little bit of a hamstring sometimes, right?
Sure,
people be like,
why
didn't you do this? And we're like, we can't just push the button and go. Like, we have to really think about,
because we
have distributors in all 50 states, and once we make these beers, right, we have to make sure that when it's time, we can make them available to all those people, or they're going to get crabby with us. So anyway, that's all technical things, but
how many breweries do you guys have at this point? Like brew houses?
So I think technically we have 11. So we have 8 large breweries. Does that sound? Yeah. And we do some contract brewing. So at some of those facilities, we have extra capacity. And then we have our smaller breweries. So Sandlot, AC Golden, which is the small 30-barrel system inside of Coors, won Large Brewer of the Year last year at GABF with their 30-barrel system. Just saying. And then in Milwaukee, we have the big brewery, but then we have a smaller brewery called 10th Street where we can do so Coors Peak is made at the 10th Street Brewery. And then we do like the Big Eddy runs. So Chippewa Falls, we also have the brewery up there, which is smaller but does a lot of the line. They do all the line and Kugel they can handle. And then the larger stuff gets brewed down in Milwaukee. But the 10th Street Brewery in Milwaukee we call the Tiny Liney, which I think is
tiny
so cute.
Liney.
The Tiny Liney. And then we have our cidery. So yeah, we've got a lot of facilities. I've been to a lot of them. There's still some I'd like to get to. But
yeah,
you know, and then we just say, okay, this is going to get bigger. Where do we put this? Or where do we run the wort streams for this? It's a lot of people involved in making sure those places are all running efficiently. A lot of them are zero landfill places now. You know, we're doing solar power out in Irwindale, California. So making sure those are all running really tightly.
For sure.
Nice. Yeah.
For sure. What do we got next, Brad?
Keep drinking? Is that what we're
Yeah. We
got a lot of beer. She brought like two coolers here.
So you guys probably as more regular IPA drinkers.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
What do you think of the white IPA?
I think it does have that nice hop, a little bit of hop bitterness that you want from IPA, but it finishes very like smooth and light, where you're kind of like almost forgot you drank it.
Yeah.
Rather than like,
still
oh, I need
tasting
to
it, like,
keep
2 hours
drinking
later.
To like get rid of that bitterness. You just kind of like, oh yeah, I don't have to think too much about it.
Yeah, and then you get a nice creaminess, which is fun when you talk about
with
these hybrid styles. Just like a really hoppy wheat, which is always fun, you know.
Yeah.
Especially for like happy hour, which is where we are now when we're recording this, right? That's the
which is now legal in the state of Illinois. Woo! All right, so I just poured Liney's grapefruit shandy.
Right on.
So again.
Fills up
it, well, and I mean, when I have friends over, because I have it in my fridge, it's like my favorite new beer that we have.
Yeah.
When I have friends over, I'm like, no, let me give it to you in a glass because the smell is out of this world. So, you know, again, Line & Kugel introduced the shandy style to the U.S. with summer shandy several years ago.
Right.
Which shandies, especially this year, have just blown up. So we'll go ahead and take the credit for.
Okay. I think a lot of people, I went to many barbecues where it was Coors Light and lemonade, like they're just mixing that.
So obviously lemon shandy's been huge for us for the last few years, and then we've been experimenting with other flavors, and this one has now surpassed summer shandy as my favorite. I mean, summer shandy is like coming home, right? It's like summer, and you're on your boat or at the beach, and that's what you have. I love the flavor, and I'm not a grapefruit juice person, but this grapefruit is just like fresh and juicy and the smell.
Is there a difference between shanty versus Radler, or are we kind of saying that's an interchangeable?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, I think they're interchangeable. I mean, the Radler is the German word that came from the Franz Kugler with the bicycle, you know, the legend, if you will. And I don't know, you know, I know because in some European countries they're using like a lemon lime soda, and it's, I don't know if it gets into it being mixed in or brewed in versus like someone doing it in front of you. I don't know, but it's
blended on site or brewed before.
Right, like, is
all I know is that in the BA guidelines for GABF, no shandies or radlers are allowed.
Wow.
Which happened the year after Summer Shandy won the fruit wheat beer category. So, you know.
They're like, this is too delicious.
I get it. Like, you know, maybe from a brewing perspective, because you're like mixing in this juice or flavoring after the fact. But yeah, they're not allowed to part. So we'll be pouring them at the booth, but they're not in competition.
Do you see that changing? I feel like it's become a big thing. It's I guess no difference than like using barrels to, you know, barrel age your beer to add that extra flavor.
It's just a layer. It's just a layer.
Well, and I kind of was paying attention this year because it was only 2 years ago that they kicked them out because they started showing up in that, especially in the fruit wheat beer category.
Right.
So it's something I've been keeping an eye on because obviously there's a lot more participants in this space. So I don't know if they'll bring it back in. I mean, I feel bad for those guys. They're like, you know, 90 categories and counting. But, you know, it is what it is.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the in-house development programs, you know, with the Red Ale I was talking to Luis. Shout out to Luis, by the way, man. He kind of brought everything together. And then the Big Eddie series.
Yeah.
So how much of your time, like, I'm imagining that, like, the new brands from Line and Kugel and Blue Moon, and then your experimental series, like Big Eddie and Red Ale, just, among others, kind of cross, like, it's all one. There's two sides of the house. Is that
kind
fair?
Of? I mean, so we have innovation teams that work within 10th and Blake, and then within Miller Coors.
Okay.
And then there's people assigned to the brands. So, you know, Line and Kugel has a very different proposition, if you will, than Blue Moon. I mean, at least when we get granular about it.
Yeah.
So if they're looking to do German beers with a twist, like, they have a team that works with the brewing team on coming up with new things for that. So, like, we had Helles because we wanted to do a Helles-style beer, okay. And we used American hops. And then the Blue Moon team has people positioned against it. Same with Crispin. And then Miller Coors has an innovation group. And some of those people are tasked on our existing brands and things like Coors Peak, and then some of those people are looking much more for, like, where's the puck going kind of stuff. So, we do have a significant number of employees, kind of.
For sure. Now, who is Eddie? Like, who is Big Eddie? Like?
Oh, so Big Eddie, the Eddie Stream up in Chippewa Falls is where the water source for the brewery is. It's the Big Eddie, I think it's a stream or a creek, but it's the body of water that, so it's named after that water, because, you know, when you look at these old historic breweries, they settled in places where there was a good water, source of fresh water, especially before people had, you know, a faucet to turn on. So, have you guys ever been up to Chippewa Falls?
No, I've never been up there.
No, up in
you guys are
Wisconsin,
gonna have to be. We're gonna be beer passing from there sometime.
Okay,
it's
we are
pretty
sheltered.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I can bring it's a Chicago
a phone
beer
in.
Pass.
Though. Yeah. Questions?
From they're like, why have you not been to Chippewa Falls or calling?
That's Dick Line and Google calling to invite you personally.
Dick, I'm on a podcast. Come on, man.
So yeah, I mean, there's, you know, and certainly if somebody comes up with something in one stream that makes more sense for another brand, I'm sure those conversations happen. And then as things get developed, they'll do, you know, tests with the brewers, because, again, we have to make sure that it's something we can scale up. We're not just brewing 6 kegs for a festival. Like, we have to, you know, make sure we can make it in the quantity we're going to need it in.
And so you keep mentioning this Coors Peak and, like, looking forward or what people are wanting and in development. Should we crack that open?
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
I guess hear why this was brewed,
gluten-free, right? Like, that's the thing. Right now, it's only available I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong, Pacific Northwest. So,
oh, makes sense.
Yeah, and there aren't any
stupid
plans
Portland.
To
Portland.
you know,
everyone's gluten-free. You go to every place, they will ask you, like, oh, any allergies, like, anything gluten. It's like, no, I wouldn't have came in here if I couldn't have ate here. That's my thought.
Yeah.
That's the Chicago attitude. Like, I don't know
if I get sick
later, that's my fault.
Like, gluten-free is a falsehood. And I was like, well, there's definitely, like, celiacs who get very sick from gluten. And then there's this whole other layer of people. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I went gluten-free for 3 months just because I thought
I like
I
sandwiches too much to ever go gluten-free.
Yeah, for sure. So
I ate it all.
Okay.
But we sell a ton of Coors Light in the Portland area, which I know doesn't seem like it makes sense, but there's people that live, like, not right in downtown Portland. So just having this brand extension up there and then as this product. As a gluten-free beer, kind of the differentiation with this, it's all malted brown rice, and then we also use a pea protein, like, you know, the plant. And
not
it's
pea.
I said that, and I was like, someone's going to make a joke, and I'm going to be like,
Are we still talking about beer?
Yes, we're talking about beer. We're talking about Coors Peak, gluten-free beer.
All right.
It's brewed gluten-free, so the gluten is not removed, after the fact. It is brewed to be gluten-free, and it's...
Right now, so you're using rice instead of barley?
Yeah, so malted brown rice, and it's 5 ingredients, and it's only in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, we have a special line that we brew it on that gets scrubbed down every time we do a run. If we, you know, obviously we want to keep that equipment, so... trying to, again, brew this to send to 50 states is going to be a challenge because we have limited capacity. So it's something, you know, this is something we said, hey, we see a need, we'll see how it does, and then if it warrants, if this is really something that's going to continue, then...
Has it been pretty well received there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like the gluten-free community is always looking for
especially
new things in the beer space.
And
I mean,
that tastes good.
Yeah, when we started in with Crispin, it was the same thing, like all the time on Twitter and wherever else. People were just like, oh, you know, cider obviously has been huge for the gluten-free consumer, but having good-tasting beer that, you know, isn't necessarily like too heavy or hoppy is obviously something we want to try and offer them. So. Yeah.
I tend to thumb my nose at gluten-free offerings. Yeah. This is nice.
It's very drinkable. And again, you know, it's not, we're not using sorghum, which is a totally adequate thing to gluten-free beer with. But we tried some different stuff because we'd like you as a gluten-free drinker to have multiple options and not just be like, do I want this gluten-free sorghum beer or this gluten-free sorghum? You know, it's, there's other ingredients out there to try and meet that need with.
Yeah. Now, just from a consumer standpoint, like in my opinion, Miller High Life and this Coors Banquet are like the holy grail of the portfolio. Now, are those the two biggest selling brands, or like how does it cascade down? Like,
so our two biggest selling brands are Coors Light and Miller Light. Coors Light and Miller Light.
Totally forgot about that.
Certainly, we sell a lot of Banquet and a lot of High Life, and we see a big crossover with those beers, especially with kind of that millennial craft drinker. I hate to get into like categorizations of drinkers, but it's something kind of old and authentic, and the packaging on it. Like, I love swinging a High Life at a bar. Like, not only obviously I'm supporting my company, but I feel really cool doing it. Like, someone's gonna be like, look at that chick drinking a High Life.
It's the champagne of beers, Brad. It says it right on the bottle.
I know.
Well, it's just this great old brand, and the lady in the, the girl in the moon. Yeah, I want that costume. We were doing like a little road show thing, and we had like an old version of the costume, and I was like, I wonder if anyone's going to know if this goes missing, but I'm always eyeballing it to like maybe just sew my own for Halloween one year.
That brings up another good point from a marketing standpoint, right? Like, you're getting to a point now, right, where like, we're all a little bit older, but if you talk like college age kids, 21 to 24, some of the beers, college-age kids probably have never had a Bud or a Miller. How do you stay relevant with that younger group with regards to all the beers we've had today and whatever else you guys have?
It's kind of two things, right? Authenticity, so that's where we get into things like Banquet and High Life that have these great histories, because that's what the millennials craving. Like, they want to feel connected to something that kind of came before then. And then flavors, right? So we keep hearing about how you go into a liquor store now and there's 900 flavors of vodka. Clearly, somebody's like instigating now. Bourbon's getting big. So getting into some of these other beverages, which we're pulling out here, the Red's Wicked and then the Steel Reserve Alloy Series.
Jesus Christ.
are you excited? What's happening?
I'm freaking out.
Like, well, actually,
I really get nervous.
Here's the green apple. So let's start with Red's Green Apple.
You drive. Tell us what we should have next.
Yeah. So Red's has been huge for us. It is in the flavored malt beverage category. So it's brewed like an ale, but then has flavors added to it. It's not a cider. So because it's apple flavored, people are like, oh, Red's is my favorite cider. And I was like, okay, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
But so when you say it's brewed like an ale, you're talking like water, hops, barley.
So there's no hops, but it's
no hops.
We are using, the same malting, and then we get into yeast and you ferment it and you get a wort strain that then you can add things to and get again flavored malt beverage. So kind of in the same vein as like a Mike's Hard Lemonade or a Twisted Tea.
Okay.
So that's where you should be seeing this on the shelf.
Oh, okay.
When I see it next to a cider, I'm like, oh, but it's fine. And people like the taste of apple and know what they're drinking.
And
so this is
it's unlike, in a lot of respects, it's unlike Leinenkugel and Blue Moon. This is kind of like 100% innovation.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I would say, the history of this is like 3 years old. Like, it's in the way that we have like the Blue Moon Brewing Company and there's a brewery, like this came out of our innovation group and has become a really big brand for us, and it addresses that want for different flavors and flavor profiles. I really like the green apple. It's really clean. Uh-huh. It's not too sweet. I mean, now, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like, I was the girl drinking all the Mike's Hard Lemonade at the beach. And those are great, but especially I feel like as you get older and don't want to drink things that are quite so sweet, it gets hard to have a lot of that. But I like the Reds because it kind of just falls into the same. ABV is, something you just normally drink at a party, and it's clean and easy. I mean, apple's a drinkable flavor.
For sure, yeah.
And the green apple, I like it because it's kind of tart.
Yeah.
And they have this fun, I don't know if you've seen any of the ads, they have this Granny Smith character.
I haven't seen the green apple ones, yeah.
Yeah, they're, hopefully some of it'll like show up on sports this fall, but she rides around on her little scooter and is throwing apples at people, so.
What?
And it's George Costanza's mom, right? So it's the same woman that played Costanza's mother on Seinfeld, and she's kind of got that, you know, hey, I like to party, you know, she's very funny, so.
Now, when you're having lunch with your constituents, or you're up here at this really cool Fred and Adolph's pub,
yeah.
What are the beers in the lineup that get the internal crew excited, like the staff? Oh,
it's a mix. I mean, the thing is, right? If we have employees that are coming up here pretty regularly, they're probably drinking more of the light beers just from a consumption standpoint. Like they're not trying to go home and like lose their evening,
okay.
And it's if you're up here a lot, you're probably watching your calories or whatever. But when new stuff shows up, I mean, when you come up here and one of these new things shows up, everyone's like, oh yeah, I want to try that. We'll do a lot of little launch parties up here for the employees. So these we actually had in those like freezer mixer things to have them more
at
like
the
slushies.
Steel Reserve margarita.
Yes, I was pointing
thing,
so. Steel Reserve margarita and Steel Reserve hard pineapple. Sorry, and I'm jumping around. So we had the Reds green apple, which was the newest flavor in the regular Reds, and then we have Reds Wicked, which is our higher ABV product, and this is black cherry, which is new.
And this one comes in, is this the only one in cans, or?
All the Reds Wicked products are in cans, so it's...
And a gold can.
Yeah, ooh, look at that. And this is a 10-ounce can, and this is 8% alcohol by volume, so...
And so it being Wicked is just, it's...
That's
higher
the higher
alcohol.
ABV, okay. Yeah. So it's an extension of, you know, we had such great success with Reds, and there's a demand for some higher alcohol stuff out there. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got one.
I got one. My pile of drinks is filling up here.
Yeah.
You should. We had a video going. Our table is just ridiculous.
And there's mango of this, and then just the regular original apple. So it's just, you know, got a little more kick to it.
Oh, yeah, I could see this being great in, like, a slushy form.
Yeah. Any of these, like, you're like, yeah, I'm going to put my straw on that and just...
That's fun.
Yeah. Should we dive into Brewers Unleashed?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mean, we've been sipping out of these lovely Brewers Unleashed branded cups.
Yes.
The entire time. So talk about your series and talk about, you know, how it started and what you guys got going on coming up.
I love the story behind Brewers Unleashed. So a guy that used to work for us that helped set up 10th and Blake,
yeah.
Who's now at Sierra Nevada, because that's, you know, people move around in this industry, but he was having some meetings at Miller, and this was before the joint venture even. He was working for Miller as a consultant. He had been at Boston Beer for like 18 years, and he was kind of like, oh, we're going to go to the bar, and I'm going to have to order a beer, and I'm not sure what I'm going to want. Like, not a big drinker to begin with, and then very particular about what he drinks.
Right.
And he went up to the bar to order, and there was this little unmarked tap handle, and they had a little handwritten sign next to it that said Wild Ting. And he said, Wild Ting? He says, what is this beer? And they said, well, Pat Ting, who's a hop scientist who works for MillerCoors, helped develop the Citra hop, and he's retiring.
Wow.
And so... we created this beer in his honor, like in honor of the work he did on the Citra hop and then in honor of his retirement. And so Jeff ordered one of these beers and he said it was the most delicious IPA he'd ever had. And this is, again, like 7 years ago. And he it's at Miller, when Miller's just straight up Miller. And he's looking around and he's like, does anybody know we make this beer? Like, all the people out there who say what they say about us, their minds would be blown if they could taste this beer and know that our brewers that work on Miller Lite and High Life and kind of everything we're known for are making this beer. So when we got 10th and Blake going, he said, look, I have this idea. He gave me his manifesto. It was like 3 pages. And he's like, we want to get these beers in front of people. We can't always sell them, but because we're doing a lot of these things in small batches. And we see some of them come to life now with our more aggressive innovation programs.
Uh-huh.
But we have these little breweries like AC Golden, and AC Golden only sells their beer in Colorado. So if you're in Chicago or Milwaukee, you may never get to try their award-winning, you know, Russian Imperial Stout, or you may never even get to try their Colorado Native. Like, there's things that happen that you as a Chicago beer drinker might not get to try. So we set up the program where I would go through our system and try to pull in things that were being worked on. So AC Golden, the Sandlot, who is, you know, kind of the birthplace of Blue Moon, as the Sandlot, they brew traditional German-style lagers. They've won, like, 45 GABF medals in their... Like, jeez, pretty
that's
short.
That's for the lager. We're not even talking Blue Moon.
Then we're not even talking Blue Moon. That's just okay. Straight up for their beers, which are only available at Coors Field.
Wow.
So okay. Bring those in so you guys can try them there. So there's all this stuff happening. And because people go, well, you're Miller Coors, you make light beer. And we're like, we do. And we do it really well. But our brewers are awesome and very capable. And maybe if you drink this beer from the Miller Valley brewery where they're making a passion fruit sour, and then you connect the dots and go, wow, the guys at Miller Lite made that beer, you kind of go, these guys know what they're doing. Like, this isn't a happy accident. We haven't been in business for 100+ years because we're, you know, imbecile brewers. We're there's right, cool yeah. stuff going on. So it's yeah. just kind of a little bit of a, you know, it's sort of like, you know, to get the doubting Thomases a little, but then also people that just want to try something cool. So if now in Chicago, you know, I've got a list of people, they get the email link, I have to cap it because I always say I'm like the Beyonce of beer, you know, sells out in 3 minutes, the whole 200 slots. It's not quite selling out Soldier Field. But we started doing it in Milwaukee as well. So again, employees in Milwaukee don't ever get to drink AC Golden
and, like,
beer.
And, where in Milwaukee? Like so at one of the breweries or something?
We do it at the Miller Inn, which is on our brewing campus okay. there, which is a cool spot. And over time, I'd like to have it in more cities. I tried last year. We took it out to like 12 cities.
Really?
But there's, yeah, so I took it to San Francisco and to Asheville. Like, there's almost a little bit of a roll-up with it, though. Like, there's a learning curve on understanding, like, why you're
like,
there.
Wait, who, what?
Well, then they're like, how come I can't buy this beer? And I'm like, well, because I don't have, you know, 20,000 barrels of it. I have two. Literally, sometimes I have one.
We're just kind of giving you a taste.
Like, yeah, well, and just so you can appreciate.
I have 31 gallons, okay? Yeah. Get off my back.
Yeah, seriously. But it's, if you haven't developed an appreciation for what our brewing staff is capable of, it might help you change your mind about that. And if you have developed an appreciation, that I want to reward you by giving you something cool that you might not get to try otherwise. So, like, we have this passion fruit cider that we've been doing at Crispin, and we always bring it in for Brewers Unleashed. Well, that is something we're actually looking at maybe trying to develop because it's been so popular. But they will literally make me 1/6 barrel of it and ship it out for these things. So it's, you know, some people do that at fests. We just wanted to have a more concentrated approach. Uh-oh, Nick's now into the Steel Reserve Pineapple.
He doesn't even wait. He's just like, yep. I need to go for it.
I'm going to need you to stop telling me how to live my life.
Okay. Hey, nobody's trying to tell you how to do anything, man. You just gotta
need a brown bag and just got to...
No, just 2 ounces. We're good.
So I think we're going to have one next month in Chicago and Milwaukee. Cool. And like I said, once I get the link set up for that, I'll provide that to you guys if you want to share it with your listeners.
I'm sure, yeah, people would love to.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, you got to like get on there at noon on Friday and hit refresh. I use Eventbrite and I screwed up the start time once. Like I had it set for, I don't know, 12:15 for some reason. And I got like 100, I was sitting in a meeting and like 100 emails came in. They're like, Lisa, I'm hitting refresh and nothing's happening. So we have some very loyal attendees who are all about it.
So Brews Unleashed is an opportunity to show off the creative side of everything you guys are doing and then show off the space. And you're doing this like, I don't know, maybe once a month or something like that?
It's bi-monthly now. We used to do it monthly here, okay. But as I'm adding cities, I'm trying to spread it out a little more just because it's hard. Like sometimes I literally have half a barrel of the beer. I'm kind of scraping from the system because it's stuff they're experimenting with or stuff they brewed for, you know, at Christmas in Milwaukee, they brew Frederick Miller's chocolate ale. And it is chocolate lager. I want to get that right. It is so delicious. And I'm like, why don't we make this beer? But the logistics of trying to actually make the beer, again, in our large system are challenging. Yeah. So there's all this good stuff hanging out. And I'm like, oh, if that one guy who said this could just try this, he might, you know.
Yeah, it'll change the way he looks at it. Yeah. Now, I just noticed as I poured this that it's a completely different color from what you guys are drinking.
We haven't got into that.
Yeah, so again, this is, you're getting into flavored malt beverage, right?
But I digress. I did want to talk about one more thing about the Brewers Unleashed series.
Sure.
Is that you guys often have like local guests. Like, I know a Bader Brow has been here, and the Haymarket story was really cool. Yeah. We talked about that offline a little bit. Yeah. But then you guys kind of showcase local beers as well.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, because it's about celebrating beer. So, like, yeah. We have a great relationship with Lakefront in Milwaukee.
Lakefront
and Line and Kugel do a collaboration right. beer every year for the Wisconsin Restaurant Show, and they sell a few kegs around Milwaukee. And I tried to bring that here because you're probably not going to get it otherwise. We had, I have to remember all the ones. We had Forbidden Root in this earlier this year. And then we've had, Bader Brow. Haymarket was the first one. It's because our guys they would have meetings and they'd go sit over in Haymarket. And
right, like walking distance from
Fred. Yeah, so they go sit over and they got talking to the guys. And you know, Pete was awesome and rolled in here. And it was kind of one of those tense moments, like...
Because you were telling me something about, like, a cab and, like, a six-barrel. Like, I remember this,
trying to take his six-barrel back to him, and I was like... Because usually we just throw stuff back into our system or send it out with our distributor. But when he stood up there at the front, he's like, you know, I feel like Luke Skywalker on the Death Star, but it kind of broke the tension, right? Like, we're nice people. We just work at a bigger company than you do, and that's because we've been around for, like... Was it Coors is 1873 and Miller's right in that range too? Like, we just have the advantage of time on our side. And who's to say some of these small brewers aren't going to be our size in 100 years? So I hate that people ding us for that. Like, hey, sorry you've been successful and have managed to, like, you know, grow. Like, it's such a dumb thing to be mad about.
There's not as many people attacking Lagunitas as they expand and grow and move in here.
I mean, and I don't... Nobody should be attacking anybody. Like, beer brings people together. Right. It's a nice thing to have for social occasions, and the fact that we just tear each other up over it is, like I said, it's exhausting. And there's good people out there kind of either A, not participating in that dialogue, which love them for it, or B, kind of poking holes in it, like, why are you spending your time and energy talking about this? Why don't you spend that time and energy working on making the highest quality beer you can? And if people like it, you're going to sell it. And it's going to be great. And maybe in 100 years, you'll be selling millions of barrels. So, I mean, you'll be dead, but but your legacy will be selling millions of barrels. So.
What's next for you, JBF?
Yeah, I'll be at JBF. I have the fun task of managing. We have five booths with Sandlot. They kind of do their own thing, but we have a Line and Kugel and Blue Moon have been longtime sponsors. And then we always have, you know, it's funny. I'll go pour a set at the Coors booth or the Miller booth just because people roll up and they're like, oh, thank God, I just need a Miller Lite right now, you know. So got to give them some respite from all that beer. Will you guys be out there this year?
No, I won't be. I've never been.
I'll be there. I get out of the city maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
I'll be in Denver. That's a fun
town. Okay. Yeah, it is. It's sometimes, you know, ever since I started I'm kind of the competition manager for that.
Yeah.
And once I started actually, like, working, and we staff all our booths with our own employees, so that, you know, they have volunteers there to work in the booths, but we have so many golden employees.
Yeah.
We want to have our own people there, and it's, you know, a little bit of, like, a three-ring circus when I'm running around all the booths to make sure we have everything. But it's fun. And I get to see, it's like old home week, right? Like, I get to see all my beer industry
friends.
You
guys tend to win a little bit at that thing, too.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah, it's so last year it was AC Golden, and the year before that, Sandlot, Large Brewer of the Year. So that's always fun. It's hard because we're capped as a company on the number of beers we can enter. So Miller Coors... on the whole, any of our breweries, and it's the same for AB and any other, like a Rock Bottom or a Pizza Port where they have multiple locations, you have a cap that doesn't allow each of our breweries to hit the maximum number of entries. So, you know, it'd be nice to see us have a little bit bigger shot, but we've been doing all right with what we've got, so I'll take it.
One more thing. What's your favorite part about your role? I think you sit in a space that no one else in this company sits in. You're at the intersection of innovation and history, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, honestly, it's the people I get to work with. I love those brewers, like, their family, and the stuff that they do is so cool. And when we get new stuff in and we see people excited about it, and we see our consumers getting excited about it. I mean, and I sit on a bunch of different committees for things. Like, I get to look at some of our advertising pretty regularly, and then I get to talk to legal about stuff. And it's just, I hopefully have become a clearinghouse of information. And that's, at a company like this, like, I've been in this role, in my job, over 6 years, which is longer than I've worked anywhere else in my adult life. But it still feels like my new job. every day I come in and I learn something new, either about the industry or the way that something's produced or the way we move things around in our system, or I meet a cool distributor I never met before. Like, it's just...
Well, yeah, it's a fun business to be in because it changes all the time.
So rapidly, like, so rapidly.
Drank and there's many beers that are totally different from what they were a year ago. Like, they weren't even here. So
I mean, it's nice to come here and not... Like, I'm excited to be here every day, which how many people say that about their 9-to-5 gig? You know?
Yeah.
So, I have no comment on that.
You are not excited.
Yeah.
I think yours was 9-to-5 today.
I work with really smart, good people. Like, these are, you know, people look up at the big building and they're like, oh, it's the corporate overlords. But, like, come, if you think that's the case, come hang out with me and have a beer and meet some of these people, because it'll be really hard for you to think that.
Cool.
And if you disagree with anything Lisa says, you will get thrown off of this the 16th floor into the river. No, I'm joking.
Can tweet at me, but if you're me, I'm not taking it. So that's the deal. So
the last two malt beverages we have before we get out of here.
This is how you end the party, right? I mean, I could probably, if you guys want one for the train, I've got a paper bag for you.
It seems like a good idea now, but I don't know, man.
Whenever you order a can of any beverage that big, you are in for trouble.
Here we go.
Right on, man.
Why did you guys decide to do flavored Steel Reserve? Yeah.
You know, we saw this space growing. I mean, you have the Ritas and other products like that, which for a time have been gaining some traction. Because, again, going to the liquor store, how many flavors of every kind of liquor are there? Yeah. So people expect to be able to have lots of options. They started out with Blackberry, and that did really well. And it's mostly like a convenience store item that you'll see. You know, we're selling single cans of it. And
you're not selling 24 packs of Steel Reserve.
I don't think so.
That seems a little dangerous.
It's an occasion thing, right? Yeah. Like, there's a time and a place for everything.
Look what I got you.
But it is. I mean, there's, you know, when I first started here, we had a brand called Sparks.
Yeah.
And Sparks.
Sparks were fun. You never had Sparks?
Coldplay has a song. That's my favorite Coldplay song. It's called Sparks.
Sparks.
Sorry, that's a side note, but that's a good song.
So I'm an employee. I come up here. I'm excited to be working here. There's a bar. But I don't come up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and drink a Sparks, right? That's not the occasion for that. But on a Friday, I come up here and I drink a Sparks. And then I go out with my friends. Like, it's just, there's, like I said, there's time and place for everything. And if you tell yourself that, no, every time I drink an IPA, then you're, like, missing out on a whole world of fun.
I remember drinking Sparks at, like, one of the first Pitchforks. And it's like, your mouths are, like, all purple and orange, and you're just like...
Very sheltered right now. I have no idea what Sparks is.
Sparks is basically energy drink and malt beverage.
Got it. Thank you.
And we proactively took the caffeine out before
they made it happen.
Kind of in the same vein, fun flavors, larger package size, and, you know, a little bit higher ABV.
Okay.
But like I said, that was my Friday evening. I'd have my Sparks and then I'd go home, but it's not my Monday evening. Like I said, there's a time and a place for just about anything we make. And I mean, I've run the gamut here, right? So maybe here's your Monday and here's your Tuesday. And
or it's just our Wednesday and we drink them all.
Yeah. And I mean, we're proud of our brands. We're proud of the quality.
We're doing this next Wednesday, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll be up here. I still got all these coolers, right? I'll just leave these right here. This one I'm going to write Nick on it, and this one I'm going to write Brad on it.
Wow. You're going to have the Steel Reserve cooler.
No.
I'll try.
No, we need to mix it up, man. Yeah. This shit's dangerous, man.
Well, like I said, you know, anything else before we get out of here? This is a different Chicago Beer Pass. Didn't really talk too much about what we made it to or what's coming up. The calendar was a little light anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, summer's winding down.
So I was your second choice. Is what you're saying.
No, you were our first choice. We tried to get this, a couple weeks ago.
Because, like, on a normal show, we talk about, like, what we did last week and then what's coming up.
Okay.
You know? But then, like, we like to...
Oh, because you're, like, out at the events. Right. Yeah, I feel like back-to-school things, like, quiet down a little bit. But I know there's some stuff coming.
Things have been very mellow.
Yeah.
For sure.
So will you be talking about GABF since you're going to be out there? Is that
something I'm going to be out there for like 4 days. That's like my big vacation this
year.
Like, that's the only thing I'm doing this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'll see you there.
It's going to be fun.
That's like walking, like, it's always like on the walk to Star Bar afterwards. You like see people on the street and you're like, hey! And then to my coworkers who maybe spend a little less time on Twitter than I do, I'm like, hey, come meet my internet friends.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, you're going to lose your kidneys in one of these. Like, and I'm like, no, it's not that kind of internet friend.
Most of my friends right now I've met on the internet. It's like, how'd you meet?
I met you guys
Twitter?
On the internet.
You know.
It's just like an introduction, right?
Then you have a couple of beers, and then you lose your kidneys.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, where can people get in touch with you, or if they want to ask any questions about any of the beers that we had today or other beers, how can they get in touch?
The place I'm most active is on Twitter, and my handle is at Zimmerino.
Okay.
But people could email me, too, and I'm literally just lisa.zimmer@millercoors.com. So pretty straightforward. If people are interested in Brewers Unleashed and want to be added to the mailing list, you can email me. I like hearing from – I do. I'm like – I get random phone calls at my desk because we used to have my desk phone number on the 10th and Blake website.
Oh, okay.
And if I, you know, you catch me on a good day, I'll talk to you for half an hour. So if you want to hear anything more about these beers, I'd be happy. And if you want more information specifically from a, you know, a brewer or someone who works on the brand, like, let me know and I'll try to get you connected to those people. I'm a connector. Nice. Just a clearinghouse of information.
I can dig it.
On the internet superhighway. the information highway. Yeah, I'm trying to remember that 80 whatever. All right,
Nick, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
I'm on the internet, man. I'm on Twitter.
Just
at Nicosio.
Come to Fred and Adolph's every Wednesday at 4:30.
Or we'll be here, man.
He's the guy drinking margaritas Steel Reserve.
You know it.
He might still be standing. I don't know. And you can follow me on Twitter. It's at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We're posting photos there, sharing events that we come across and maybe we don't get to talk about on the show that we didn't like see until it was too late or something like that. So be sure to like us up there. And the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, links to events we talk about, all our Twitters, everything else. So go over there, listen to the show, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening.
Lisa Zimmer, thank you for coming out, man. This was great.
Hey, thanks for having me. I like hanging out with you guys.
Right on. Cheers.